This is WACV Coosada, News Talk 93.1 FM. When it's Chevy, it's Riverside.
News. I'm Chris Foster. The number of coronavirus cases in the U.S. keeps climbing, more than 60,000, another daily record, with intensive care units filling up in some hospitals in hard-hit states.
The president on Fox's Hannity giving his take on the increase in COVID cases.
What we're doing is with all of these tests that we're doing all over the country, test, everybody test, pull up parking lots, everything else. What we've done is we've created a tremendous number of cases.
Health officials from the CDC and the NIH have confirmed that the percentage of people testing positive nationwide, a key measure of the true spread of the virus, has also spiked.
Fox's John Decker. Tropical Storm Fay is hitting the Mid-Atlantic today. John Cangelosi with the National Hurricane Center.
We think there's going to be 3 to 5 inches of rain, and there could be some pockets up to 8 inches across portions of New Jersey and then into southeast New York and even into portions of southern New England.
America's listening to Fox News.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Wiley Sanders Trucking. Truckers, listen up. Would you like to be home every weekend and two nights during the week? Then you need to get in contact with Wiley Sanders Trucking, one of the nation's largest. Family-owned, family-operated. Wiley Sanders cares about you and your family. Wiley Sanders Trucking. Call him today.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Good morning, everybody. I think the big story over the next several days is going to be the heat and the heat index, which is going to be pretty high. Today's high temperature up to about 93, but the heat index will be close to the 105 danger range. Tonight's low 75. Scattered thunderstorms, most numerous in the afternoon and evening hours. Good luck. Then tomorrow and Sunday, very high. Heat index 105 or higher. That is the danger range. Mid-90s on Saturday, mid to upper 90s on Sunday. A few cooling storms here and there for some lucky towns. And that big heat wave continues next week. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
At Capital City Body Works, they're not satisfied until you're satisfied. If it's auto body repair, glass, or upholstery, they do it right. They work with all insurance companies and have a lifetime warranty on repairs. Call Capital City Body Works at 271-AUTO.
Hi, this is Carl Schmidt, naturopath and owner of The Herb Shop. Listen every Saturday to Winning Wellness and learn from experts in different fields of science and technology how nutritional supplements can help you.
Listen to Winning Wellness at its new time every Saturday at 10 a.m.
I got David Little from Tucker Pecan. Things are opening back up a little more now. You got a lot going on down at Tucker.
Yes, they are, Bubba. Everything's getting right and getting back to normal. And I tell you what, I want to thank everybody for sticking with us through all this tough time. And you know what? We are making candy fresh daily if you need a gift. We've got some great beach tote bags, lake bags. We've got all that. Got those wonderful dry wick beach towels in. And you know, if that's not your thing, we just got some good old-fashioned food. We've got the Bearded Pickle Guys pickles. We got Vertical Go hot sauce. We've got the Sprouted Flour grits. We've got Captain Rodney's. We've got the Little Bull seasoning. Go on your steaks, your barbecue, your vegetables. We've got all that. Plus, we have great jewelry. You know, if you need a gift for somebody, all you got to do is call us up, come by. We'll take care of your gift giving. We'll wrap it, and it will be the best gift ever.
Tell them where you are.
We're located at 350 North McDonough Street in downtown Montgomery. You can check us out on the web at tuckerpecan.com or call us at 262-4470. Like us on Facebook.
You know, I talk with David Ernest all the time, and I ask him questions like, David, what's going to happen with the economy?
Look, who knows what's going to happen? That's the problem. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know. So why do you want to lose your dough if you don't know?
And what about the stock market? How safe is that for investing?
If you're young, fine. Keep on using that stock market in an aggressive way. But if you're getting close to retirement, maybe you need to take a look at what we do.
And it's easy to take a look at what we do. Just call David Ernest at 279-7431.
When the economy goes down, we just reset, make more money. We can't lose any. All we can do is make money.
279-7431.
What about them gigantic bonuses that we add up front? Or the insurance companies do. When the economy goes down, we just reset, make more money. We can't lose any. All we can do is make money.
Call David Ernest today. 279-7431. Ernest Financial, LLC.
Sounds like a job for AC by Luke Ryan.
It's Christmas in July, and when you turn to the experts at AC by LaCroix, they have presents for you. Choose between a free Yeti cooler, a free Wi-Fi thermostat, or a free air cleaner. Purchase a new carrier system and have your pick. Also get 0% financing with approved credit on new carrier systems. AC by LaCroix.com. License number 84417.
Sounds like a job for AC by LaCroix.
Napa know-how.
At Napa, we've stopped thinking outside the box. Instead, we're thinking inside the bucket. The $2.99 Napa bucket, to be exact. When you fill those bad boys with auto parts, you can get 20% off three or more items that fit inside. No overthinking required. Just get your bucket, fill it up, and save 20%. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores, exclusions apply. May not be combined with other offers. Offer ends 7/31/20.
Before we officially kick off the second hour here, let's talk to Ray Bowles with Prattville Carpet. Hey, Ray, how are you?
We're doing good. Headed to Birmingham to measure a job. So, nice, pleasant day today.
Actually, that's a great place to start. When people call 285-8117, they don't have to be in the river region, right? You're going to Birmingham today?
Yeah, headed up there now to measure actually two jobs and pick up some samples for another job. So I figured I'd knock them all out today and get them done with.
Well, I'm glad you're driving, though. That means you can listen to us all day, right?
Hey, the app is perfect because when you get out of range, I just flip over to the app and I get to hear you the rest of the day and don't miss nothing.
Well, very good. I'm glad it's working finally, and I'm glad that y'all are still working and had. I mean, as you told me before, the pandemic didn't hit y'all in particular too hard, and so that folks are calling y'all up at Prattville Carpet and taking advantage. And let me ask, this redwood flooring product, this is actually redwood?
It's Revwood, R-E-V, Revwood.
Revwood, waterproof, okay.
Made in the USA. Look it up. It's made by Mohawk. Absolutely outstanding product. Or if you want to stop by the store and look at it, we're open until 6 today and tomorrow from 9 to 2.
Yeah, I am looking at this now. That is, oh, yeah, Mohawk Revwood laminate. That is fantastic. Easy to clean up and very much waterproof. Yeah, I'm in an apartment right now, Ray, where there is a water heater leak in the unit above me. So it was leaking through our walls, and my carpet still smells like foot.
Oh, yeah.
You got to pull that pad out and get rid of it. It won't ever go away.
And you don't have the same issues with that waterproof flooring. Y'all really do great work. So, folks, y'all call Ray Bowles at Prattville Carpet, 285-8117, 285-8117. And be sure to tell them that you heard Ray here on News and Views.
Hey, y'all have a wonderful weekend.
You too, Ray.
You too,
appreciate
Ray.
You.
Take care.
We'll be right back after, 14 seconds.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers. It's time for News and Views from 9 till noon. Montgomery's conversational radio show. To join the conversation, call 272-9228. It's News and Views from 9 till noon, only on News Talk 93.1 FM.
Welcome back to News and Views from 9 till noon. I'm your host, Joey Clark. Co-host Jack Campbell live from his kitchen. Jack, how you doing?
How you doing?
I'm well. I'm a little delirious. Didn't get much sleep last night, but not really complaining. I feel good.
I crowed?
No. Just couldn't shut my mind off. Don't bring that up, Jack. How dare you, sir?
How dare you drop such a truth bomb?
Oh, sorry,
Jack.
Eddie.
Yeah. Well, it was Jack talking, but I got cut off. But
Eddie Bader in the studio, intern to Tim. And, Jack, I want you to do the honors of introducing our guests once again.
Well, yeah, we're very happy to have on the show. Oh, and very privileged to have on the show Dr. Ed Hughes, who is a professor of political science at AUM. David, you went to the University of Georgia, and then you, where else did you go?
I got my my bachelor's degree from Montevallo, just up the road, and then I did my PhD at UGA. So that's it. That's all my degrees.
Well, that's enough.
Yeah.
A hell of a lot more than I got. But anyway, it's my pleasure to introduce David. He convinced the university that they should do a poll in the Senate race, you know, something that's independent of the candidates, because, you know, every candidate, they can manipulate polls and release what parts of it they want to. But David said that he thought it was a good idea. He convinced the powers that be, and I'm very anxious to hear what you have to share with us, David, and thanks for coming on.
Well, thanks again for having me.
So for you, when you look at what y'all have conducted here, what do you think is the big headline takeaway? I've actually seen some outlets what they took away, but would you say it's the Senate race for the most part?
Yeah, the Senate race is going to be one of the more salient items on the ballot. And the big takeaway there is that according to our poll, which we conducted between the 2nd and the 9th, Tuberville's got about a 16-point lead on Sessions. There's still a pretty decent chunk of Republicans who say that they're undecided which candidate they plan to vote for, being that we're only about 4 days out from the election, which is a little surprising. So our results show that Tuberville has a lead that is outside of the margin of error, but he's not quite over the 50% threshold that he'll need to win the day. It's unlikely that Sessions is going to convince the lion's share of the undecideds out there to vote for him, but it's not a statistical impossibility.
Could you see a lot of those undecideds just staying home?
It's possible. We didn't poll their likelihood of turning out to vote. It's really hard to figure out people's likelihood of turning out to vote, particularly in outstanding times like these, where right. people might be a little intimidated to go out to the polls. And we did actually ask some questions about COVID-19 and voting, and a pretty substantial chunk of voters, Republican and Democrat alike, indicated that they would like other ways of voting aside simply from in-person voting at their regular precincts, whether that is absentee voting, early voting, or curbside voting. Hmm. So it's going to be really hard for pollsters to know who's going to actually turn out to vote amidst the pandemic, although I'll point out that in states like Wisconsin, they still had a really healthy turnout, even as people were fearful that they might contract or spread the coronavirus.
Right, right. Well, and what do you think accounts for this lead for Tuberville and Sessions being down? But also, I think that large number, was it like 22% are undecided, something like that?
It's close to a fifth, yeah.
And so what do you think accounts for this gap and why Sessions has not been able to gain ground?
You know, obviously the president's vocal opposition to his former attorney general is not helping him. We asked respondents about their preference for Tuberville or Sessions based upon their opinions about how appropriate it was that Sessions recused himself from the Russia investigation. We found that the people who said that Sessions' recusal was appropriate, 46% of them said that they were going to vote for Sessions, and those who said that it was inappropriate, 69% of them said that they were going to vote for Tuberville. So that's a big gap, but that still doesn't help to account for the undecideds out there. This is outside the bounds of our poll, but I would speculate that Tuberville still is, to a large degree, an unknown commodity. He has been hesitant to engage with the press corps. He gives very few public appearances. As you noted before the break, he's reticent to engage in debates. And so, there's a strategic angle to that. If your opponent is disliked enough by Republican voters, granted, Sessions is someone who's a highly known commodity in Alabama. He's been a presence here since the 1980s in political circles. Tuberville isn't. And so, respondents might have the impression that they're not very pleased with what Sessions did. They're just not very sure about the candidate that Tuberville would be were he to assume a seat in the Senate.
I think that's a fair breakdown.
Yeah. I understand from talking to a couple of pollsters over the years that when you have a sort of a large percent undecided this close to the election, one pollster told me a lot of voters get real turned off by the negative ads, and it sometimes keeps them at home on election day. And so they don't really, when you hear, and because you've heard Sessions going negative on Tuberville and Tuberville's gone negative on Sessions. To me, it helps move voters, but it also turns off a segment of voters and they might be inclined to stay at home. Do you agree with that?
Not really.
Okay.
All due respect to your opinion and the pollster that you spoke to. Political Sciences has looked at this. We've conducted a lot of
statistical analyses about when campaigns go negative and what that does to voter turnout. And you know, one of the takeaways that we have as political scientists is that when campaigns go negative, it tends to increase turnout, partly because negative advertisements are the kinds that give voters the clearest distinction among the different candidates out there. And so, you know, you're going to have your candidates who are saying, well, I support the president. I want to drain the swamp. I want to crack down on illegal immigration or build the wall. You've got all these things that they essentially agree on. You know, if you were to stack up Tuberville and Sessions' list of policy proposals, they'd look, you know, pretty identical in the sense that they're running just traditional Republican campaigns here in 2020. And so negative advertisements are the best opportunity for candidates to distinguish themselves from their opponents. And so if I can't tell that one candidate's really any different from the other, then maybe it doesn't make sense for me to go out and cast a vote because, you know, one's going to be just as good for my policy preferences as the other. It's really when the candidates get down in the mud and say, here's how we differ and here's why it's important, that voters really have an opportunity to say, actually, I do have a preference. I do have a dog in this fight. And now I do clearly have a candidate that represents my preferences.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
What age demographic went to more for Sessions and which went more for Trump? I mean, for Tuberville.
There's not a clear trend that emerges from the numbers. Sessions is pretty routinely in the high 20s to upper 30s across all age cohorts. We did find that that Sessions tended to do a little better among the 60 to 70-year-old crowd, but we just didn't have enough 60 to 70-year-old respondents to draw a firm conclusion about that particular age cohort.
Yeah, I would have thought that, too. I would have thought that the older voters like Jeff, because they know him, you know.
Right.
He's been around.
Yeah, and we did see some evidence that that Tuberville enjoyed an advantage among younger Republicans. Our 18 to 30-year-old group supported Tuberville at 50% compared to 28 for Jeff. So it's a difference, but again, once you start parsing out those age cohorts, you really start sacrificing some degrees of freedom in terms of the size of your sample.
Sure.
Did y'all do any other candidate polling, or was the rest of it issue-based?
We did both. So we looked at Doug Jones versus Sessions and Doug Jones versus Tuberville, and we also polled the presidential elections, Biden versus Trump, and then we also did some salient issues that are in the headlines right now. So I'm happy to discuss any of those that you like.
Yeah, let's
discuss them all.
Yeah. Do the head to head between Tuberville Sessions up against Doug Jones, respectively.
Sure. Doug Jones is behind. Either way, you really slice it. He does a little bit better against Sessions. We found that 49% of Alabama voters supported Sessions compared to 43% for Jones. So that's a six-point lead, which it's not as good as what you might expect a traditional Republican-Democratic matchup to be in Alabama politics. You know, you think back to 2018, Ivy beat Maddox by something like, what was the final number, 18-20% percentage points? I mean, blowing them out of the water. So 6 points, it's within the margin of error. So, you know, we can't conclude definitively that Jones is going to lose this thing, but it doesn't look great. Tuberville polls a little bit better. He's got an 8-point lead on Doug Jones, and so we are seeing some of what we saw in the Tuberville Sessions head to head, that it looks like Republican voters have a preference for Tuberville, and when Sessions is the nominee, more respondents indicate that they're either going to write in a third candidate, or they're just unsure who they would vote for if they'd vote at all.
Do you think Doug Jones has any, you know, from what you're looking at, and this would go beyond what you're finding in the poll, you think Doug Jones has any path to victory? I mean, he's, as far as Democrats in the Senate go, he's been fairly moderate, but on some key issues, it's what Sessions or Tuberville will hammer, whether it's Supreme Court votes or the issue of abortion, these sorts of things.
Oh, sure. You know, the campaign is already, the die's been cast. You know, Doug Jones voted for conviction in the impeachment proceedings.
Right.
He voted against Trump's Supreme Court nominees. And you could go through the list. One of the few exceptions I can really think of off the top of my head was the confirmation of of bar for attorney general. So, you know, we've done the math in the votes that are cast, and Doug Jones is the most conservative Democrat in the Senate, along with Joe Manchin from West Virginia. But that's just probably not going to carry the day compared to the kinds of policy preferences that rank-and-file Republicans in Alabama want to see supported, whether it's, you know, social issues like abortion or gun control or immigration. Doug Jones just doesn't have the voting record to appeal to those sorts of groups. So, you know, how can he win an election in November 2020 in which the most popular Republican in the country is going to be at the top of the ballot in a state that allows straight ticket voting? That's going to be incredibly difficult to pull off. We expect the turnout's going to be relatively high just based upon what we saw in the 2018 midterms. And when Republicans are mobilized like that, and when you've got a really popular incumbent at the top of the ticket, and when most Alabamians vote straight ticket anyway, man, that's a heck of a hill to have to climb up if you're in the incumbent Democrat as Jones is. So what would it take? I think it would take a controversy on the order of a Roy Moore Washington Post expose. And barring that kind of revelation, it doesn't look great for Jones.
Yeah, you just talking and laying it out, it reminded me of how odd that last election between Roy Moore and Doug Jones was.
Oh, it's once in a lifetime.
Yeah, it was just the type of allegations, the way Roy Moore responded, and just the persona of Roy Moore and who he was.
Even how we got Roy Moore in the first place. Right. He would never have been the nominee had it not been for, Robert Bentley and Luther Strange.
Right.
And just, the air reeking of controversy over that appointment to the Senate. The incredible number of missteps that it took to get Doug Jones elected. You know, first you needed Diane Bentley to leak text messages to the press.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's just a string of, you know, oddity after oddity after oddity.
Right.
And, you know, the odds of that, of a similar timeline laying itself out before November is on an order of magnitude I couldn't calculate.
Well, 272-9228, if you all have a comment or question here for David. Jack, you have something here?
Yeah, what did your poll show Trump and Biden head-to-head?
It shows a pretty clear lead for Trump. We found that 55% of Alabamians would vote for Trump versus 41% for Biden, which is pretty well in line with what we've seen in recent statewide elections between Democrats and Republicans. So that wouldn't be too surprising. It's outside of the margin of error. Biden should not expect to get an Alabama victory.
I wouldn't think so.
Right. Well, but you did find something interesting, whereas you really go younger, much younger. Is it, 30 and younger, so to speak? It starts to go towards Biden, right?
Yeah, we found that a majority of 18 to 30-year-old Alabamians would actually prefer Biden compared to Trump. 54% of 18 to 30-year-olds go for Biden compared to 35% for Trump. So, 18 to 30-year-olds don't vote at an incredibly high rate, so that's not something that Republicans in Alabama necessarily need to worry about right now. That's the only age cohort that Biden was winning at all, let alone decisively. But as that age cohort, graduates college, moves mm-hmm. into their career, starts having family, purchasing a house, all the things that we know start leading people to vote. Once you start putting down roots in your community and having skin in the game, it's something that Republicans are going to have to keep their eye on. And this is something that we see all throughout the country. It's going on in Georgia and Texas and North Carolina and Florida. Republicans have what we sometimes refer to as a demographic time bomb problem, which is to say that their voting base is beginning to age out of the electorate.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, newer generations of voters are, decidedly voting in favor of Democratic candidates top to bottom on the ballot. And so we've seen places like Virginia, which have gone from being reliably Republican just a decade ago, even a few years ago, now it's almost impossible to imagine Republicans winning statewide in a place like Virginia. They flipped both chambers of the General Assembly. They flipped lieutenant governor, the governorship. We've seen similar developments in North Carolina, You had HB2, you know, aka the bathroom bill, which cost the Republican incumbent his seat. So Alabama, we're not seeing these trends very quickly. We're not Georgia. We're not North Carolina or Virginia. Part of this has to do with the fact that our population is largely stagnant. In places like Virginia, Texas, Florida, you're seeing huge influxes of individuals, and these people tend to be more Democratic compared to those who are native-born. But it is something that Republicans are going to have to keep their eye on. So, for example, they've got supermajorities in both chambers of the legislature. That's a reasonable strategy for Democrats is, well, we're not going to flip the chamber in 2022, but we could conceivably target vulnerable districts, particularly in the suburbs, where especially white women have been turning away from the Republican Party in recent years, and deprive the Republicans of their supermajority.
Well, that makes sense. And honestly, you know, I'm definitely not a guy on the left, but I look at the state, and we can maybe get into it. It is odd how we have this one-party rule of Democrats for decades and decades and decades, and now it shifts to the one-party Republicans. And to me, a strong one-party rule is not healthy for debate and healthy for really good ideas.
Well, it tends to breed corruption. That's something that we see in one-party rule, both in other states and in other countries. When you don't really have a realistic chance of losing your next election, it can create a moral hazard for the kinds of policies that you endorse. And so, sure, Democrats controlled the state from 1875 to 2010, which is a remarkable run. And anybody who lived through that period can tell you that you know, there was a fair degree of corruption in the Democratic Party of Alabama.
Yeah, but let me tell you, it didn't take the Republicans long to learn it.
No.
Take them long to catch
and perfect it.
And so that's what we've seen also in recent years. You know, you've got the governor being forced to resign. Otherwise, he almost certainly would have been impeached and removed from office. You had the chief justice of the state removed, I'm pretty sure it's a record, twice.
Yes.
You know, you have the incumbent appointed Republican senator defeated from office. You know, it just seems to be, you know, scandal after scandal. And it's hard not to point back to that one-party rule and say, well, you know, when there's no reasonable competition coming from the other political party, then, you know, what incentive do politicians have to behave like angels?
Well, and I've had this conversation with Jack so many times, David, where, you know, we'll talk about, we'll bring up some corrupt practice or what we think is corrupt, and I'm happy to talk about it, but I think told you several times now, Jack, I get tired of corruption and scandal being the shiny object of politics that distracts Alabamians from actually having some sort of vision and clear debate about the future of the state. It's almost like, okay, we lay out and have these good feelings for a moment in an election, and then it just turns into the governor sleeping with his aide, Roy Moore's not following the rules again, Mike Hubbard was up to something, did Luther Strange get that seat from that guy who was in moral turpitude? Like, everything kind of gets boiled down to the corruption aspect.
Yeah, and so that, you know, the electorate has a tendency to get distracted like that, and your everyday Alabamian doesn't have a real keen eye for stuff like budget politics, stuff that has a huge impact on the state. You know, right now, I believe there's a Senate committee that's been in the Capitol considering the budget in light of disturbances to revenues related to COVID-19. How that money gets allocated is hugely important for, you know, the quality of your schools or your roads or, you know, any other kinds of infrastructure. And, you know, your average Alabamian just doesn't have a really good sense for how those funds are allocated or, you know, what goes into the preparation of the sausage, so to speak.
Well, we got it.
We have a contract review committee in the Senate. You're aware of that, David. And nobody ever knows when they meet to come up there and voice opposition. I mean, they approve. If it gets to them, they approve it. The whole process is flawed. And they spend money like drunken sailors and people don't even know about it. Yeah. It's amazing.
Well, Jack, we need to hit a break here. Again, folks, we're talking to David Hughes. He's a political scientist over there at AUM. They just conducted this poll that, of course, breaks down this upcoming runoff election for, Tommy Tuberville, Jeff Sessions running to be the Republican nominee, face Doug Jones in November. But I love the breakdowns in terms of age, in terms of what's going on with the presidential race. And I love these broader conversations about the direction of the state, too. It's interesting. There are a lot of ways I think we can improve our political system, just our discourse here in the state. And after this break, hope to get into more of that. And also would love to take y'all's calls, 272-9228, 272-9228. More news and views when we come back. And don't forget, folks, this hour of news and views is always brought to you by Alabama Home Mortgage. Alabama Home Mortgage, 567-4223, 567-4223. Visit them on the web at myalabamahomemortgage.com. NMLS number 1586368, an equal housing lender. We'll tell you more about Alabama Home Mortgage and Kim Williams coming up. Be right back after this quick break.
Trusted voice, News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Confidence, peace of mind, a way forward. During tough times, these are the things we all want. And with the personalized help of a Trustmark relationship manager, it's something we can find together. That's why Trustmark is standing by business owners. No matter what challenges you may be facing, we are here with a suite of financial services to help you find a path forward. Learn more at trustmark.com/business.
The runoff election for both parties is July 14th. This is Montgomery County Probate Judge J.C. Love. Because of the COVID-19 pandemic and the rising number of cases, we encourage you to vote absentee. The deadline to apply for an absentee ballot is July 9th, and they must be received by July 13th. If you are voting in person, you must respect our safety rules. The public interest is best served by participation in elections, and the right to vote is essential to our democracy. The virus can't stop our vote.
Noble here with Dixie Electric Plumbing and Air. Don't ignore things like flickering lights, leaky pipes, or a hot house. Your home is saying, fix me. Dixie is the solution. Visit calldixie.com today.
Call Dixie, and it's done.
License number 15033.
Hi, this is Larry Stevens for Montgomery Paint and Body. For over 35 years, the Turner family at MPB has been repairing your vehicles good as new, maybe better, after a collision. And for just about all those 35 years, I've entrusted my vehicles to MPB because I know they will do it right. Donnie, Holly, and Brandon Turner are open at this time to take care of your vehicle repairs. But a lot has changed since MPB opened their doors. Insurance companies do things differently when it comes to a claim for body repair. To help save time, MPB asks that you call ahead to schedule an appointment to come in. By doing so, they can discuss your provider's procedures and save time when you stop in and help get your repairs moving quicker. For me and thousands of others, from little fender benders to total body repair, MPB has repaired our vehicles good as new, maybe better. The Turner family is praying that everyone stays safe from COVID-19, but they also pray your drives are safe. When you need Montgomery Paint and Body, call 279-7325. That's 27REC with a W.
Hi, folks. This is Bill with Circle C Trailers. Just wanted to let you know, since we've been advertising with Blue Water Broadcasting, our business has grown tremendously. I recommend advertising on Blue Water.
Millennials, Gen X, Baby Boomers, Gen Z, no matter what you call your customers, over 90% of them listen to radio every week. Reach them where they are. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks helping local business.
The premier place the River Region turns to for news, weather, traffic, and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Welcome
Welcome back to News and Views from 9 till noon. I'm Joey Clark. My co-host Jack Campbell live from his kitchen. He hasn't rolled back into the picture, though. We got Eddie Bader in the house, intern to Tim, and our special guest today, David Hughes, political scientist over there at AUM. They just conducted a poll about the upcoming runoff election, the Senate race between Tuberville and Sessions, but also breaking down other developments here in the state. 272-9228 if you want to get on the program. This part of News and Views brought to you by Heirloom Jewelers, Troop Booth and Heirloom Jewelers over at 6948 Vaughn Road. Folks, if you're looking for one-of-a-kind antique jewelry items, maybe for an unexpected gift, unexpected time, maybe you're popping the big question, how about a unique one-of-a-kind engagement ring? Or maybe, you know, you screwed up, Eddie.
I have. Again.
Yeah, maybe you need to get back in the good graces of that lovely wife of yours. She's too good for you, man.
Stop. She's listening. Stop.
But Troop Booth can help you out. But also Troop Booth, if you call him at 260-0066, he'll set up an appointment for you to see what's in the showroom and buy from him. But he's really looking to buy from you. So if you're looking to sell any old jewelry items, jewelry you don't use, you hardly ever think about, whether you think it's too valuable, there's too much gold and too many diamonds on this thing, or it's just a bunch of junk, it's too, you know, faux, whatever it is, you won't know the true value and what you can get for it until you call up Troop Booth, make an appointment. 260-0066. When you make that appointment, bring your items in, Troop will give you an appraisal, and if you agree on the value then and there, you get paid right then and there. It's that easy. Turn those antique jewelry items into cold, hard cash. Again, that number for Heirloom Jewelers, 260-0066. And when you do call Troop Booth, be sure to tell them Jack and Joey from News and Views sent you. Hey, Jack, I see you now.
How you doing?
Doing well. We have a phone call here. We went fishing and we fished up a phone call. This is Joe. Hey, Joe, you're on with David Hughes.
Dr. Hughes, thank you for taking my question. The Governor Ivey, she called for an election for the Senate position, didn't she? Could she have left Luther Strange in there until this election cycle?
Yeah, from what I remember, once Governor Ivey took over after Bentley's resignation, she changed the election date for Luther Strange to, I believe it was August of 17.
I believe you're right. Mm-hmm.
And you think she took any political heat for that decision, and ultimately that seat went to a Democrat instead of a Republican?
Well, I remember she was criticized at the time among some quarters of the state, but obviously it didn't cost her political career.
And I think Ivy too, Joe. I think her and everybody else, more let's say establishment, thought it was a slam dunk. We got Luther Strange in there; he's well known, 2 degrees respected. But I think people didn't really think through how it looked out there to the regular folks, so to speak, the populace. And I don't think they expected Roy Moore to have that comeback potential.
I think that's really the critical element there, is that they knew that Strange was in hot water from that appointment from Bentley. And so, you know, when she got in and changed the election date to moved it up to August, I think part of that was a repudiation of the Bentley appointment of Strange. What I think they really miscalculated was that it would be Roy Moore who squeaked into the runoff.
Oh, yeah. Well, I would like to ask you about, you know, in recent years we've heard about the difficulty in polling, how unreliable in polling is. What kind of methodology did y'all use for conducting your poll? Because in the past we've used, there's been, you know, telephone polls for years, and because so many people don't have landlines anymore, how did you go about polling to get a good sample size and a good cross-section of a citizen?
Good question. What we did was we used a mixed method online poll, and in order to ensure representative sample of Alabamians, we used target population demographics of the state. So we used demographics on race, gender, income, and education. And then we weighted the data using statistical methods in order to ensure that frequencies within the cross-tabulations reflected accurate population demographics. These are pretty standard practices for online polling. We had originally planned to conduct a mixed method online and telephone poll, calling both landlines and cell numbers. As you note, you get some really wacky results with landline only surveys, because you don't get a very decent number of younger respondents. They tend to be more heavily skewed toward older respondents. But response rates for cell phones are terribly lower compared to landlines. So that was our plan. We were going to set up a call center back in June. But then the pandemic forced AUM to move online only, as it did pretty much every university in the country. So at that point, we changed strategy and invested entirely in an online poll, hoping that whenever the pandemic ends, we will get our call center back up. Because I think the best surveys out there right now are mixed methods between online, cell phone, and landline. But we did use the best methods we could in order to get a representative sample. And for the most part, our numbers come back reflecting, the kinds of demographic spreads we would expect in terms of education, income, age, gender, race, all those sorts of things. And if you want, I can talk more about why polls in the past have been criticized for not being as accurate as we would want them to be. But I'll turn it back over now.
Joe, I appreciate the call, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. 272-9228. We got another break here, Jack, but...
You're kidding me.
Why are you always surprised?
Because we're back on for, what, 2 minutes?
No, more like seven or eight there. But
really?
Yeah. Time flies when you're enjoying yourself.
Right.
And I certainly am. Now, you also, David, did some polling on particular issues, right?
We sure did. Yeah, we asked folks... some questions that are topical in the news right now, stuff like how likely they are to wear face masks voluntarily, what their opinion is of some of the recent protests or the Confederate monuments bill that the legislature passed a few years ago. So we haven't released those results yet. We're going to start releasing those next week after the election is over and is done dominating the headlines.
Okay. And I might try to pry out of you after this break maybe some insights without giving the game away completely. But, you might be able to pry. Okay. Well, more news and views when we come back. I'm Joey. He's Jack. Eddie, Tim, and our special guest, David Hughes, political scientist there at AUM. We'll be right back.
He may not know whether he's coming or going, but whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Who can you trust anymore when you have healthcare questions with all of this misinformation floating around on social media?
I trust our local doctor and also my Adams Drugs pharmacist.
I just want to know if I'm taking the right medications and if there's something else I can do to help boost my immune system.
You know, the pharmacist at Adams Drugs talked with me about my medications just the other day and offered some great advice on that very thing, boosting my immune system.
Well, what did they tell you?
They recommended vitamin C, vitamin D, and also zinc supplements. It makes me feel good when I can just walk into my Adams drugstore and talk with my pharmacist about any healthcare concerns I may have. I trust them.
Well, I need to go to Adams Drugs and let them look over my medications and get some advice on how to build up my immune system, too.
Good. You'll learn to trust them like I do.
Adams Drugs, your locally owned HealthMart pharmacy, is offering even better over-the-counter pricing and high-quality products as well. Give us a call and see how we can be your healthcare partner. Visit us at AdamsDrugs.net for the location nearest you.
Rich Thomas Weather is brought to you by Caravita Village. Seniors, a full and active all-inclusive lifestyle is waiting for you at Caravita Village from $15.49 per month. Check them out on Facebook. One of your friends might already be there. Reserve your tour and free lunch at CaravitaVillage.com.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Good morning, everybody. I think the big story over the next several days is going to be the heat and the heat index, which is going to be pretty high. Today's high temperature up to about 93, but the heat index will be close to the 105 danger range. Tonight's low 75. Scattered thunderstorms, most numerous in the afternoon and evening hours. Good luck. Then tomorrow and Sunday, very high. Heat index 105 or higher. That is the danger range. Mid-90s on Saturday, mid to upper 90s on Sunday. A few cooling storms here and there for some lucky towns. And that big heat wave continues next week. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
At Capital City Body Works, they're not satisfied until you're satisfied. If it's auto body repair, glass, or upholstery, they do it right. They work with all insurance companies and have a lifetime warranty on repairs. Call Capital City Body Works at 271-AUTO.
Do you have a Class A CDL license and at least 6 months driving experience with a good record? Jimmy and Darius Transport specializes in hotshot. Their trailers are 3 to 5 car haulers, and they have immediate openings for qualified drivers. Earn $1,500 per week, 50% of your health insurance paid, paid vacations that grow to 3 weeks after 3 years, quota bonuses, and much more. Jimmy and Darius Transport is also looking for dispatchers. Call Jimmy and Darius Transport at 241-6414. That's 241-6414.
Rioting, looting, vandalism. It's getting out of control. And liberal Soros-backed judges and prosecutors giving them a free ride makes it worse. That's why Republicans need to re-elect Judge Beth Kellum to the Court of Criminal Appeals on Tuesday. Beth Kellum, tough, strong, conservative. Beth Kellum stands with our police in the fight against the criminal element burning down our cities and with law-abiding citizens protecting their families.
I'm Judge Beth Kellum. When you've been around criminal law for decades, you've heard everything. The tough part is separating fact from fiction. That's where experience counts.
Judge Beth Kellum has the intelligence, the courage, the experience, and the conservative values Alabama needs on the Court of Criminal Appeals. Re-elect Judge Beth Kellum. Keep Alabama safe. Paid for by Beth Kellum for Court of Criminal Appeals. Box 241511, Montgomery, 36124. BethKellum.com.
On American Medicine Today, we speak to cutting-edge medical and science innovators, reconnect with patients to recount stories of recovery after the Bonatti spine procedures, and political issues plaguing our nation. Saturday, noon to 1, News Talk, WACV.
Trustworthy, accurate, immediate. Carrying your voice across the river region. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Welcome back to News and Views from 9 till noon. 272-9228 if you'd like to get on the program. I'm Joey. He's Jack. Hey, Jack. How you doing?
How you doing?
We have a great guest in today, friend of Jack's. I'm glad you invited this gentleman on. David Hughes, political scientist there at AUM here in Montgomery. Before we get back to the conversation, again, this hour brought to you by Alabama Home Mortgage. Y'all need to check out Alabama Home Mortgage if you're a current homeowner because, well, you're leaving money on the table if you don't give them a call. I mean, right now, they could save you thousands of dollars over the course of a year. Once you refinance with Alabama Home Mortgage, you could, you know, save through skipping one payment, maybe two payments on that mortgage. And then also, if you're renting with dreams of buying, don't let your ignorance of the process scare you away from buying a home. It all starts with a phone call to 567-4223. And Kim Williams will walk you through the process of buying a home. It all starts with a pre-approval, right, Eddie?
Yes, it does. It's the most important part.
It allows you to understand how much you can afford. And people that are selling will negotiate with you much more seriously. So it all begins there. Eddie's told me, a lot of my friends in real estate have told me, all these sad stories of people who didn't do the process right.
Yep.
So go to somebody you can trust who, she'll be a straight shooter. If you're not ready to refinance or buy something, she'll tell you. But she's told people that, and they come back when they are ready.
That's right.
Because they know they can trust Kim Williams at Alabama Home Mortgage. Again, that number for Alabama Home Mortgage, 567-4223. Visit them on the web at myalabamahomemortgage.com. NMLS number 1586368, an equal housing lender. So you mentioned, you haven't released it to the public just yet, but you mentioned some of these issues that are going on. I am very interested because, you know, I've shared my opinion about changing the names of, say, Robert E. Lee and Jeff Davis, if that's what the school board and population wants to do. But that comes under the auspices of the jurisdiction of this Commission on Historical Monuments, which kind of baffled me. The names of schools are considered monuments. And we've had Will Dismukes on talking about the Confederate Memorial Park. We've been on all, heard people on different sides of this issue, so I'm interested, what was kind of a general takeaway when people are thinking about this Monument Preservation Act?
For the most part, we see that Alabama voters are supportive of the legislature's decision to enact this Monument Preservation Commission.
Do you think the what we've seen where folks are taking it on their own to tear these things down, or cities are doing it themselves, do you think that adds to the support, what they're seeing in the press?
We actually see pretty broad support among Democrats and Republicans alike for peaceful protests,
right,
in light of the George Floyd killing and the Black Lives Matters movement. But where you start to see support dissolve is when protests cease to be peaceful.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. Yep. And, for instance, we've had a lot of people say, you know, graduates of Lee High School say, yeah, change the name if y'all want to change the name, but they shouldn't have torn down the statue,
exactly,
willy-nilly, so to speak. And disappointed with the DA for not bringing charges, these sorts of things. Isn't that right, Jack?
Yeah, I'm a little upset about it.
Yeah.
Got his panties in a wad.
Does that fall to the DA, though? I thought that was pretty much, you know, within the ambit of the Attorney General.
No, that particular one, they
DA stepped in on that one.
Yeah, well, they filed charges with Daryl Bailey, and he came back and said, because it's, I'm trying to remember this from months ago.
It was something about they weren't all charged with the same
felony crime. Criminal mischief requires damages of over $2,500, right, and each person charged was being charged with different values of damages, and then did we assess the dilapidation of the statue is already there. So Daryl said, hey, because this isn't adding up, I'm not even going to try to pursue this.
So that wasn't the monuments bill at all. That was just
right,
your plain old felony misdemeanor.
Exactly.
Stuff.
And then with the school name changes, it would require that commission, but I don't think they've set it up, actually.
Well, you know, there are two routes there. You could do it the commission route, where you get permission, or you could take the Birmingham route via Lynn Park, remove it, and pay your fine, and
right,
you're done.
And that's what the AG essentially kind of telegraphs. You say, hey, I'll do it. You just pay the fine.
Sure. Yeah, the AG put out a statement after the Lynn Park Confederate Memorial was removed, saying basically, under the letter of the law, all I can do is fine you once.
Right. Now, this has been an outstanding issue for a while, especially in a Republican-run state, and we're seeing now with the pandemic a big push to expand Medicaid. What are you seeing there?
Vastly popular.
Okay.
Is that right?
Vastly popular. Both parties, it's a really popular idea.
Okay. And has that changed over time with, say, the Republican Party?
I'm afraid I don't have those temporal figures, so I really couldn't speculate.
Okay. Okay. 272-9228. Let's go to the phones and talk to Ellis. Hey, Ellis.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I got a question for you about the graffiti around our fountain downtown, historical fountain. Did the mayor have the right to approve that without city council getting involved in that Juneteenth thing? That's still there.
Are you asking our guests? Because
yeah, I'm asking any one of you that want to answer.
Okay, I don't want to put David on the spot because he's here to talk about the poll they conducted.
Yeah. Okay.
I really don't know, but I do know that a council member told me that Reed did not ask them for commission nor inform them that he was going to do it.
And they all seemed to have come together very quickly, too, like the folks who actually painted it. It was like permission from the mayor, and then happened really quick.
I happen to know a couple of people involved, and they found out, I think, that Thursday, and then that Thursday night they started doing it. It was a very, very fast situation, but we don't know.
When's the cleanup going to come, and couldn't we get up a committee to go down there to the mayor and say, hey, we want to clean this up?
You could probably call the mayor's office and check with them and see, but as far as
it's
I know...
It's indefinite. They made a statement about it being indefinite.
Is it? Yeah. I haven't heard of any cleanup at all.
Right. You can always go to those city council meetings. You just got to socially distance, wear that mask.
Well, be careful. If you get too hyped up in the city council like Tiger did, they'll ask you to leave.
Well, just be kill them with kindness, so to speak.
Did you hear about the couple in California that they painted Black Lives Matter up and down their street, so... The couple got out there with black paint, was painting over it, and they arrested them, and they're charging them with a hate crime. Do you hear about that?
I heard something like that.
I saw the headline.
Tucker Carlson, when you interviewed him last night.
Yeah, I saw the headline. I did not see the follow-up interview.
Is that not ridiculous, a hate crime?
I think the hate crime's a little much, but...
I swear.
Right. But, I mean, when cities can officially do things, duly elected people can do things. Like, de Blasio can put it on Fifth Avenue if he likes.
Right.
And so, folks, it's the same principle of don't tear down statues that are put up there.
Right.
If a city does something, don't just go in vigilante style, you know, make your own agenda known.
But my question, in California, I don't know, it probably wasn't approved. They went on and did it. They didn't charge them with vandalism or, you know, the people that put it on there in the first place, but someone wants to come there and clean
Ellis,
up.
Ellis, are you telling me that governments are inconsistent?
Yes, very. Isn't it? So it's very hypocritical, isn't it?
Well, that's a virtue in politics.
Ellis,
I got to run. I'm running out of time.
Bye. Take it easy.
272-9228. Now, I wanted to ask you, David, because, I mean, you are a professor, you teach students, young kids coming in, learn about politics, and I was telling you off air, I'm more the philosophy guy. I was in those statistical classes, I think I took like two. I'm like, that ain't for me, but you love that, I think. And how are you, you know, kind of getting your own mind around this pandemic and how school is going to look? I'm not looking for an official statement of the university, but, you know, when you're thinking about teaching young kids, you know, how are you managing?
For the most part, I'm doing what my bosses tell me to do.
Good move.
Good move.
But I can tell you that the current plan is to bring students back in the fall. The university has taken a fair number of precautions relating to public health on campus. That involves smaller classrooms. I think my classroom, which could normally hold 30, is set up to hold 14 to 15 now. We'll have mandatory face covering provisions. There's going to be hand sanitizers scattered throughout the place, trying to cut down on meetings in smaller places like offices. So these are the sorts of things that the university is taking precautions on. But, you know, we have seen a pretty dramatic increase in the daily number of coronavirus infections in Alabama. When we went fully online back, I believe, on March 18th, there was something like 7 new cases a day.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I believe the numbers that came out yesterday were, correct me if I'm wrong, I want to say it was around, I think it was the first day over 2,000.
Yeah, I think it was about 2,200, yeah.
So it's really concerning just from an administrative point of view.
Right.
You bring a bunch of people back into an enclosed space like a college campus, particularly as we learn more about how the virus is spread. It looks like it can be spread through airborne particulates. That's going to pose some major challenges with respect to teaching in a classroom.
Right.
And we've already seen some universities across the country who've brought athletics back, already experiencing a rapid uptick in infections among members of sports teams, but also, fraternities and sororities, that kind of stuff. So it's going to be a major challenge, and I think there's going to be an element of, playing catch-as-catch-can as we go.
Well, and I think virtual long-distance learning is great for, like, autodidacts and these sorts of things, but it's, you got to deal with the reality on the ground, and if that's the way you got to go, it's the way you got to go.
It's not easy teaching online. I was teaching two graduate-level stats classes in the spring, and I'd be lying if I said that my quality of instruction was as good as had it been that I had students sitting right there. You can look a student in the eye and know the minute that you lost them.
Right.
And you can